and hopefully joined on the line by Michael from Open Hire. Michael, hello.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bri.
Hey, all good. So for people that didn't hear before, basically Michael is from Open Hire. It's a user experience, or it's a startup for programmers, and Michael is a user experience designer. And I guess the first thing we might start with is, why do we need people that solely focus on user experience as like an industry?
I think UX has become such a big thing over the last, I would say, 5 years, mainly because, like, I guess when you're building tech products, which is still fairly sort of new thing, and I think people still struggle to do it right, is because you need to understand, like, a number of things. So, like, you need to understand what consumers and your customers actually need. You need to create an experience that's sort of easy to use as well. But then you also need to build an experience that meets business needs. So as a UX designer, you sort of need to join, like, piece all those pieces together to build a successful product.
Yeah, and I guess the thing would be, it's sort of like it might be a weird balance where if you're doing your job right, then I'm spending like as much time on that website or product as possible. Is that kind of the goal, to like maybe suck people in as much as you can, or is it more just so that they're happy when they're using it? But even then, if I'm happy using it, maybe I'm using it for longer.
Yeah, I guess this is a really sort of grey area that's sort of surfacing in the whole UX industry, which is like ethical design. That's what we tend to call it. There are no legislations. There are no like laws in regards to this stuff. But yeah, like as businesses now, they're sort of understanding the longer they can maintain a user on their platform, the more money they can make, pretty much. So especially in social media, the more engagements, the more people, the more eyeballs that they can actually attract, the more money that they can generate through their business model, which is like ads. So I guess really, like, depending on what sort of product you're looking to build out, as a founder, you need to understand, yeah, like, what is that usage life cycle of a user? Is it like a daily, is your service targeted for daily usage or monthly usage? Or is it like annually? So like Airbnb, what they try to do is, even though people, they travel maybe like once or twice a year, I guess that's what they try to go for. But at the same time, they've got some tricky little design things that they bring forward, which is like exploring trips and stuff. So they're still trying to bring people on board into their platform as much as possible.
Yeah, right. And does it take into account maybe like data history or anything? Like, if I'm typically someone that, I don't know, likes to buy, I don't know, like, you know somehow that I'm like buying more expensive things, does that mean the website might then be able to show me the more expensive stuff on it? Like, does it work like that in a way?
Yeah, so it definitely, so when you join, when you combine like a UX designer with like a data scientist, that is a very powerful and also scary sort of pairing. So a lot of these tech products nowadays, it's actually backed by a ton of engineers, a very sizable UX design team, and then also a segment of those engineers are like growth hackers, which are data scientists. So what they do is they actually sort of like mine all the data. So let's say like Facebook, let's say they're doing like an A/B test, they can actually mine and sort of track what's performing really well, what's not performing so well, and then they can start to put the things that are performing really well in front of more users. So for example, it might be the placement of their ads, right? They might say, let's test for them to drive more revenue. They need to see where on the page do ads get clicked the most.
Right.
So they might test it with like 10% of their user base, or I would say 1% because they've got such a large user base. They might do two variations or three variations or like a multivariant, so meaning like there's a lot of different tests.
Man.
And then they'll with the data and the results that they find, they will be able to make better design decisions, more informed decisions on what to do for the next step.
Right. So before I let you go, I guess as someone that does work in the UX industry, do you see this as good stuff? Like, it does kind of sound like maybe some people would hear this and be like, whoa, what the hell, like that? I don't want to be played. I don't want to be played by the system. But obviously, you're someone that works in the industry. I mean, how do you see it?
I think with tech, it's all about balance. And I think it's anything to do in life is like a balance. So like if you use social media or you use your life relies on these tech apps, then you're really going to be influenced by algorithms. But I think if you use it in a in a more balanced sense, I think that's great. Like you can sort of reap the benefits of maybe you're shopping for a top and they're showing you similar tops or tops that you might like. Maybe that's maybe you do find a top through that sort of algorithm. But I guess if you're on social media such as like Instagram and you're being influenced by all these algorithms where they're showing you the best places to travel and everyone's having a good time and all your mates are having a good time but you're just stuck at home and that has a negative influence on you, then I guess that's where the line needs to be drawn, and that's where you need to be sort of aware that this whole tech space and all the social media, all these apps, they're not actually painting a realistic version of reality. It's something that's just manufactured through algorithms.
Yeah, well, there's obviously so much to unpack. Michael, we'll have to definitely bring you back and explore this issue a bit further. But hey, thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Yep, no worries. Thanks for having me.